Buonasera a tutti, io sono Denis Isaia e sono qua oggi in sostituzione di Carlos Basualdo. Prima di incominciare, due note tecniche. Io ed Hector, io parlerò in italiano, Hector parlerà in inglese. Hector Zamora è un giovane, possiamo dire, artista messicano. Lui oggi è qua in questo incontro sulle biennali perché è uno degli artisti invitati da Daniel Birbao alla prossima Biennale di Venezia. Devo dire che ho potuto conoscere meglio il lavoro di Hector e l'ho trovato estremamente interessante per la sua capacità di ridefinizione degli immaginari, dei paesaggi, dei luoghi. Lui ha sempre lavorato su larga scala. Io volevo darvi, prima di iniziare la discussione, la chiacchierata che faremo con Hector, due informazioni, una breve nota biografica, la prendo dal programma del festival. Artista, ha partecipato a numerose mostre collettive e biennali, tra cui la 27esima Biennale di San Paolo, con un progetto fra l'altro molto intrigante e anche molto ambizioso, di cui poi lui ci parlerà. Ha partecipato anche alla Busan Biennale in Corea del Sud e alla Biennale dell'Havana. I suoi lavori sono stati esposti in musei quali San Diego, alla Casa Encendida a Madrid, al Museo Nacional Centro de Arte Reina Sofía, sempre a Madrid, al Museo de Arte Carillo Gil in Messico. Nel 2006 ha partecipato al quarto foro di esperti in materia di arte contemporanea, una conferenza a Madrid all'interno di Arco 06. Se non sbaglio, fra l'altro, questa conferenza era sull'arte pubblica e immagino che allora si sia parlato di un lavoro piuttosto recente che Hector ha fatto in Belgio. Bueno, allora io inizierei subito, Hector. Sì, come dicevo prima, tu hai questa capacità, almeno mi sembra che uno dei tuoi intenti sia quello di poter ridefinire alcune cose. Parlo di cose in modo generico, proprio perché ogni tanto sono dei luoghi, ogni tanto sono dei paesaggi, ogni tanto sono delle storie, altre volte sono degli immaginari veri e propri. Dunque, ci vuoi raccontare come è iniziata questa tua avventura nella ridefinizione delle cose? Da dove ha preso spunto? Qual è stato il là? Qual è stato l'inizio?
Well, the kind of work that I am producing like an artist is connected directly with the space. The first point that is the beginning of my project is that I need to go to see and to leave the space where I will work. And in that way, obviously, each project is defined for that. And I don't know, it's like a doctor when he's seeing his patient. He needs to understand all the situation to can give a reaction to this specific situation. One of the more famous project that I did in 2004 was this intervention that I did in this museum in Mexico City. That was this construction that was like a parasite house that was hung directly to the facade of the Museo Carrillo Gil. And well, this project obviously have a lot of layers of meanings, but one of the principles was that at that time I was working very hard in a research in the surrender areas of Mexico City, trying to understand the way to that these barrios are working for in the self-construction systems. And after this research, I start to use this technology to build the house. And well, obviously have some political connections with the idea of how this house is taking this public space in a radical situation and getting sense also for the specific area that is where is this museum that is one of the richest areas in the Mexico City.
Ecco, io ieri, fra l'altro, quando riguardavo questo lavoro, mi è venuta in mente una cosa piuttosto buffa, l'accennavo anche a Hector prima di venire. Voi sapete che di recente, è una questione di attualità, di recente Berlusconi ha fatto questa proposta in cui si può allargare la propria casa del 20%. E così mi era venuta in mente questa strana connessione, anche perché, ma e qua arrivo poi al punto da cui, che era poi il punto da cui sono partito, se noi immaginassimo di poter cambiare, di poter costruire qualcosa, il 20% in più della nostra casa, immaginiamo come cambierebbe il panorama urbano italiano. Proviamo a fare questo sforzo di immaginazione e immaginiamo come in realtà questo paesaggio che noi conosciamo e che è molto solido, che è molto per l'appunto sedimentato, possiamo immaginare il cambiamento che avrebbe. E allora da questo punto di vista mi interessava questo lavoro proprio per la capacità di innescare una percezione di cambiamento. Ora, io volevo chiederti un'altra cosa. Primo accennato, sempre rispetto alle case, hai fatto un altro lavoro di recente, un lavoro altrettanto ambizioso, altrettanto di altra scala, mi sto riferendo a Cicera. Ce ne vuoi, ci vuoi raccontare come è partito anche quel progetto, come si è sviluppato e sì, e qual è la sua dimensione oggi?
Well, talking about Cicera, I think that is very important to have this background of this Paracaidista piece, because the owners of this old house that was almost in ruins in São Paulo, Brazil, invite me to make a proposal to make the remodelation of this space. They invite me because they saw the project, the Paracaidista project, and they found that somebody like me, like an artist, because I am not an architect, could develop something in the architectural way, because they were looking to have a different way to build this, to reveal this house. They were trying to find a good way to create some studios for artists, and they found that perhaps I had the possibility to develop something like this. And well, for me it was very interesting because I start almost in the same way that I work for the Paracaidista project. First I did the model scale 1 to 10, making a copy of the original house. Then during this process, I think that for me is very important, because when I create this space in scale, I can understand how all this space is made and how I can dialogue directly with the space. And yeah, then when the model was ready with the original house, I start to work directly in the model, developing the final project. For me, this part is very important because it's like a sculptural process, because I am touching with my hands the space and giving the shape, the final shape, before to start to touch the real space. Yeah, for me it was amazing that somebody gave me the opportunity to work directly in something like this. And well, some soft concept, like to keep all the metal structure in the basic colors, like only the protection to don't get the steel erosion, and to work with the basic colors, trying to keep everything in the more flexible way, because at the end the final user is the guy that will have the possibility to define their own space.
Ti interrompo, scusa. Qual è la differenza fra te e un architetto in questo caso, nel confronto che hai avuto poi con questo oggetto, con questo edificio?
Well, I am not sure that what is the difference exactly, because perhaps for somebody I am working like an architect, but for me I think it's more the way that I am using to work. These models, this approximation directly with the space, this connection with working also with the construction workers directly, deciding with them, involving this knowledge, because for me also in Paracaidista was very important to work directly with the workers, because some of the solutions that are in both constructions comes from them. They say so they have all this knowledge that is part of their work, yeah, and they don't need to have the exactly and the precise solution from the engineer, because sometimes the most of these solutions comes from
them.
Exactly, and this was beautiful because was not an engineer behind this kind of things. This also gives us the possibility during the construction process to have more flexibility. Okay, perhaps this thing that was planned before is not the best, and we can fix the problem in one day directly talking and drawing directly on the walls. This was a really beautiful part that every day we were checking and planning directly with drawings on the walls.
Ok, se tu sei d'accordo rispetto a quest'idea degli immaginari, io scorrerei e andrei al lavoro che hai proposto in Belgio, che è un lavoro che ha sempre a che fare con un processo, ma è in qualche maniera ancora più radicale rispetto a Cicera. Ci racconti come è nato? Perché rispetto agli altri lavori c'è una diversità, sin dalla genesi del lavoro stesso.
Yeah, well, in this specific project that I developed the last year was an invitation to make a commissioner project for the city of Genk, and the invitation came because they are developing a new project to rebuild an old coal mine, and they were looking for make a project to establish like a bridge between the old community that is living in the surrender area of the mine and the new project. And they put me this challenge to create something like a sculpture or some art piece to represent this bridge between the community that is already there and the new community that will arrive with this ambitious development that will be in this mine. And well, when I arrived there, I found this mountain that is an artificial mountain, the Terrils, that is basically the garbage from the mine. And well, for me, it was a beautiful space. But at the beginning, obviously, I was without any concrete idea to how to work. To can get this bridge, but then I found these blocks that was part of an old pedestrian track that was over this mountain, and well, I decided to propose a really simple piece that was focused in the activation of this space. I decided to invite to this little town, to the citizens of Winterslack, to come to assist in one Sunday to a picnic day. And during this day, I asked to them to play with the bricks that was already in this landscape, to use them to create something, to write, to build, to do whatever they like. But something that is important about this project is that the idea was that here is the beginning. We were trying to activate the space and then later we will have this space activated, and the people that used to go there to get fun, to ride their bicycles, have the possibility to arrive in this space and play and rebuild the walls, write another things, build another things, and in that way the space continues with their own life. And if you go now, perhaps somebody is now playing there and changing the structure that we create during this first Sunday. I think that this piece for me is very important because this happened just at the same time that Cicera, and these are the two first projects that are not ephemeral. But this one is interesting because it's playing with these two ways, the ephemeral and the permanent project. At the end, nobody will remove, well, hopefully, nobody will remove this. But later, but everybody have the possibility to move and to rewrite or to build another thing during, I don't know, perhaps in 10 years, 20 years, if somebody go to this mountain, you will see a new combination of words, and the space will continue with their own life after this first period of this project.
Sì, questo doppio movimento fra effimero ed eternità, questo cercare un nuovo approccio con l'idea di eternità che è propria all'arte o perlomeno è propria alla volontà dell'arte, quindi come possiamo essere eterni o fare un lavoro, un gesto che ha un'ambizione eterna però allo stesso tempo essere effimeri in qualche maniera. Io trovo molto molto intrigante questo lavoro proprio perché riesce a lavorare con una chiave innovativa su questi due concetti che sono due dei cardini fra i più interessanti della storia dell'arte contemporanea, o perlomeno due dei grandi obiettivi, diciamo. È anche molto bello il titolo di questo lavoro.
Yeah, well, the title has to be is in connection with a really typical phrase from Belgium, that each Belgian burned with a brick in their stomach. That is a phrase that is in connection with the culture that they have, that they build their houses in their own way, but also with the culture about they are together, they used to build their houses with their own bricks. And nowadays is interesting because these phrases have a lot of political meaning, because the problems between the Flemish community and the French Belgium community is hard, and to write this in Dutch is very hard. And I was in a Flemish community.
Fra l'altro il mattone che del motto, cioè quello che dice ogni belga nasce con un mattone nello stomaco, il mattone può essere usato non solo per costruire ma può essere anche un'arma, nel senso che possono anche tirarselo addosso, quindi c'era anche questa strana connessione, no? Fra la costruzione, la possibilità che insita nel mattone di costruzione e poi anche quella in realtà di un'arma di attacco, quindi volendo c'era anche questa ulteriore lettura del lavoro in questo campo, anche se era, come dire, lontana dall'istinto primario.
This something that also comes from their hands, because at the end they made all this project by their hands, and they will rebuild the project by their hands using the bricks that was already in the landscape of this mountain.
Questo questa sorta di campo, che è anche un campo di allenamento della fantasia, poi è stato non riprodotto, però in qualche modo eri già arrivato ad usare altri campi vuoti. In riferimento ovviamente al progetto di San Paolo, ce lo vuoi raccontare brevemente? Così ci avviciniamo anche al nostro obiettivo, che puoi raccontare come si approccia un grande evento come una Biennale internazionale.
I start with a really big and ambitious project that was focused on the landscape of the Ibirapuera Lake. That is the main lake of the city, using at the park where is the São Paulo Biennale building. I went to visit São Paulo in the early 2006. Then, well, I got a lot of interesting work inside of this park, because in São Paulo, like in other cities in South America, we have these social levels. And outside of the park, all these social liberties are really with borderlines. But something very interesting is that inside of this park, that is a public park, everybody can be together without any problem. You can see a family that comes perhaps from the lowest social level, and you can see the richest playing you next to the others without any problem. And a special space that for me was important is the open space of the lake, that for me was like a good screen to show something to all these people and start to try to get some reflections about the scene. Then I start to work and to make some research, and I found a very interesting plant that is called aguapé. In English is jacinth aquatico, aquatic jacinth. It's a beautiful plant that have a really, really beautiful flower that I think at the beginning of the 20th century, the people start to take this from their original landscape and put in a lake is like an ornamental plant. The behavior that can develop this plant if it's out of its normal environmental is really, really amazing, because this plant can grow 80% each day. And if you imagine that in square meters, can be a plaque if it's out of control. Another behavior that the plant has is that it's a very good filter for pollute water. And in that way, the plant have two behaviors that come from the relationship with the human being. And obviously one is against, and the other is helping. And well, something interesting is that the Ibirapuera Lake is an artificial lake, but is a part of a river, a real river that crosses the city, and is really, really dirty. And well, I decide to make the proposal to make a contamination with these cells of aguapé. I was working with 51. We were thinking in 2,000 square meters of aguapé over the lake. And obviously we work with during 8 months, planning everything, checking all the tiles with biologists, with people to make a really, really professional project to don't get problems with the lake. And well, just the day, 10 days before the opening, when the plants arrive in the Ibirapuera Lake, the government decide to cancel the permission and to stop the project. Then the project go another direction that I was expecting something like this, but not really hard like was at that moment. And well, the discussion start to be directly in the newspapers. Some people that saw me on the lake was fighting with me, because the journalist Grodd that I was like a crazy artist, uh-huh. Mexican that was trying to make a catastrophe for the lake. And well, yeah, this was very interesting because at the end the project generated the reaction in the community, perhaps not in the right direction, but at the end show something that was part of these reflections about Ibirapuera Lake and the relation with this plant.
Ho un'altra domanda per te. Che cos'è per te oggi il Museo di Arte Contemporanea? Che cos'è per te oggi un museo?
Well, I think that I still been seeing the museums like from the beginning of my art career. They are buildings, and I don't know, sometimes these buildings can be more institutional, sometimes they are more flexible, and sometimes I am not interested in working these kind of spaces. Sometimes the space invite me to work, like in the Paracaidista case, or I think that this other one from Colombia, that was a really interesting situation, because when I arrived in Colombia, the museum was in the middle of the city, in a really, really crazy part of Medellin, that is where is the red zone, where are the prostitutes, all the drug addicts, and everything is happening in this street area. But when you arrive in the museum, that is probably the more important museum of Medellin, you arrive, you are a little bit afraid about this situation on the streets. But then after 2 or 3 days, visiting the same space, I saw that they were surviving in harmony. The inside institution, public institution showing contemporary art, and the outside public space with the prostitutes, with the bars, with the drug addicts was in harmony. And I know that in Mexico City or perhaps in Sao Paulo or also here, this is something impossible. You will not have the more important museum of your city with prostitutes just in the corner. And well, I decided to propose to this museum to work directly on their own office, and they had this door that was closed because just after the door was one of the harder areas of this street. And well, I decided to open this door and to create this wall that was like taking this space from the inside institution. And then I decided to create a bar inside of this space, and working with some prostitutes from this street, that they got the space and they managed the space in totally independent from the museum for 2 months. Yeah, and was working like a normal bar of the area.
Qual è l'approccio di un artista ad un grande evento come può essere la Biennale di Venezia? E ancora, Venezia ha delle caratteristiche come città che sono certamente uniche. Come ti sei rapportato con queste caratteristiche? Se le hai prese in considerazione per il tuo prossimo progetto? Oppure, come dire, hai fatto un progetto che potrebbe essere ovunque.
I think that from the beginning, when I received the invitation, the idea that they told me was, okay, we like to, if it's possible, to develop a project that could happen in the outdoor spaces, involving the normal life and the reality of Venice. this city. Well, but this magic, I think, perhaps after my first visit in December, I was a little bit like in a dream, thinking about this, all the history that is involved with this space. Perhaps for all this history, this over history that has this space, it could be a little bit like a fantasy, like something that somebody imagined, like a postcard, like something that you saw several times, and for that reason you are not believing that you are there. Perhaps it's like a dream. And obviously it's interesting to know that the different perception. I was talking with Renata Lucas, another artist that is participating in Venice Biennale, and it's interesting that she's feeling probably totally another Venice than the Venice that I am feeling. And well, this will be, you will see both projects, and I think both each project will have a specific dialogue with this reality, or perhaps this fiction that you can find in Venice.
Radio Papesse.org.